It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
And welcome to Speak Out. It's Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. A very special guest in the studio. I should just have you say hello and see if anyone recognizes your voice.
Well, hello, everybody.
And they might not. That's Jillian Usher. She is the interim executive director at the, is it Lake Havasu Museum of History?
It is.
I got it right?
You got it right.
Wow.
You've just won a free membership.
You just won a residency in Lake Havasu City.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I am a resident, so I should know that. So Lake Havasu Museum of History. I wasn't sure if natural went in there or not.
So. No, but we do have a lot of natural stuff in there. We got some lizards, tarantulas, and now we got some wild animals coming in called veterans. So
nice segue, by the way. All right, let's see. The Suns return to action tonight on our sister station, KNTR Sports. At Toronto, they'll take on the Raptors, 5:30 tip-off. And then we took on a game tomorrow. We've got some NCAA basketball. St. John's, I think they're called the Red... They used to be the Redmen. Now I think they're just the Red Wave at UConn, UConn Huskies. 6:15 p.m. is the start on that one. And then if you're wondering about the Cardinals, they don't play until Monday.
Oh.
Cardinals and Rams. Cardinals at SoFi Stadium, and that's at 6 p.m. on Monday. We've got a whole host of playoff games this weekend. I'll go through those later on in the week. We still have, by the way, listeners, we have Lake Havasu Regional Orchestra tickets. It's called We're Back with a Bit More. That's this Sunday at 3 p.m. in the Lake Havasu High School Performing Arts Center. And tickets are available at Soundbank. And the Performing Arts Center box office at the performance. They're $10 per adults, and let's see, children are free and students are free with a student ID. So there you go. And I've got some tickets here in the studio right here. See, Jillian, you can see them.
Yep.
All right, we got tickets.
Confirmed.
$10 tickets. I've got about 8 left. I'll give away up to 4 if you give me a call during the break. And by the way, Balloon Fest is coming up. Did you know that?
I know, yes. Pretty and cool. Actually, the gyroplane, which is a museum artifact, will be present at the Balloon Fest. So
nice.
You can come check it out.
So we're working on a special show with Jim Russell this Monday. Because it's Martin Luther King Day, we won't have the two chiefs on. We won't have Chief Doyle and Chief Palafis because it's Martin Luther King Day. It's a city holiday.
Yeah.
So city offices are closed. So we're working on a special Balloon Fest / Winter Blast show.
Very cool.
So that'll be cool. We'll have Chip Shalosky, hopefully, who's, you know, helping to run things for Winter Blast, cause it's pyrotechnic oriented, and
yeah.
Chip, a former fire chief, of course.
Well, you need one of those.
Right, and then Steve Ticknor, who's in charge of Balloon Fest.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Hopefully we'll have that all figured out, and them coming into the studio on Monday, so that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds like quite the party here.
Yeah, Jim Russell's playing producer today.
Oh, so awesome. Well, hi, Jim.
he gets to take a day in my shoes, so there you go. Okay. All right, so you kind of alluded to it. You got veterans, a big exhibit coming. We're going to have you for one segment, and then City Manager Jess Knutson's going to come in. I've got a surprise for him, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, his Bison won the national championship in Division II football.
Oh, wow.
Again. No kidding. They're like the Yankees of D2 football. They've won 9 of the last 11 national championships in Division II NCAA football.
Wow, good for them.
North Dakota State University Bison. Who knew, right?
Yeah, I didn't know they were that fast. They seem like a pretty slow animal to me.
Nice one. It's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
There you go. They're a dynasty, so to speak. So anyway, Jess is going to come in after the first segment, but we want to talk about something going on that's really exciting at the Museum for Local Veterans.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got War Comes Home. This is presented by London Bridge Resort, and it's in partnership with Exhibit Envoy, the Center for War Letters, California Humanities, and California State Library. So the museum originally partnered with Exhibit Envoy to bring this exhibition in 2019. Obviously, with the current state of the world, things were delayed, and now we're excited to bring it to you this January. And so the exhibit actually consists of 13 banner panels that showcase different letters that veterans have written home during their time of service or their families have written to them as they were serving in different parts of the world. And so with these panels, you're actually going to get the profiles of the soldiers that pair with it and get to actually see their emotion through their own handwriting. Plus,
wait,
yes,
the original letters.
Well, we're going to have copies of them, but you'll appreciate this as an audio guy. We have an audio tour that's paired up. Yeah, so
nice.
With your cell phone or MP3 players we provide, you'll be actually able to hear the letters read in the author's voices. So it's going to really take it to the next level for people coming to check it out. Plus, we partnered with some groups in town, so I want to shout out Todd Baldwin, Susan Johnson. They brought in 8 uniforms that are on full mannequins, so you can see every branch of the U.S. military represented and different eras. We have World War I, World War II, we have Vietnam, as well as modern and full-color blues and formal uniforms from all different branches. So those will be set up, and a couple of them actually have storyboards match with soldiers that wore those exact uniforms, so you can kind of get more of that up-close idea of what it was like for these soldiers as they were serving.
I hope you're handing out Kleenex at the door.
We will be, because it's really heart-wrenching. The letters are, you know, some are happy, some are debauchery when they're on base, and then some of them are just heart-wrenching. And, you know, a lot of these uniforms, too, are people who were killed in action, prisoners of war missing in action, so it really takes it to a very emotional place. So be ready. And then a little fun thing we have, along the perimeter of the exhibit, we actually have all the flags of the different armed forces, including Space Force, which a lot of people haven't seen yet in person.
It looks like the Star Trek insignia.
It totally does. Yeah, it does.
I like that.
It's cool.
I mean, I like that.
I just think that they've confirmed aliens are real for me. So that's all I need to know, because what are they fighting up there?
Now I know where the Jillian came from.
Yeah, yep.
All right, the X-Files. Right. So yeah. When does all this start?
Yeah, so we're going to actually have our members reception, but it's also a membership drive. So if you're not a member, come down and we'll sign you up. That's going to be January 14th, this Friday at 6 p.m. And then we're having a big grand opening bash that following Saturday, the 15th. 11 to 3, but if you're coming down, I would come down at 1:30 because the Marine Corps League Detachment 757 is actually going to do a special flag folding ceremony and present the colors at 1:30. So
nice.
Come down then. It's open to the public by donation only. But if you can't catch those dates, the exhibit's going to be here from January 15th to March 12th. So you got a couple times to come check it out. But like I said, open to the public by donation only. And we're really excited to bring this to the community.
So tell me again about this interactive part with the audio. That sounds very fascinating.
Yeah. So when you get there, the first panel you see is actually going to have a cell phone number you can call. And using your headphone devices, we ask that you use headphones and not speakerphone.
Sure.
You can actually listen to the audio tour that was designed by Exhibit On. And hear the letters as they're read aloud by the voices of the authors.
Wow.
But if you don't have headphones or a cell phone, we do have MP3 players that have been uploaded with the program, so you can listen to it that way as well.
Sure. I went through an art exhibit one time, really high-end art, you know, The Thinker by Rodin and that sort of.
Awesome.
Had that sort of, but this was 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was a lot different. But Where did this idea come from?
Yeah, so museums as a whole are really moving into the direction of interactive components, and so we want to be able to take these exhibitions and bring them to every sensory level possible. So you're getting your visual, you're getting your mental reading capabilities, you know, but to bring it audio in there is really going to trigger your brain to take the emotions in deeper, because you're hearing it in voice, and us as humans, as we recept audio through our audio waves, we're actually able to absorb more and really take in what we're comprehending through the exhibit. So it really does take it to a next level, and you see a lot of museums going that direction
and
as well.
And you're talking about handwritten letters.
Yes.
Nobody does that anymore that I know of.
Exactly.
It's all about email or, you know, texts,
yeah,
that sort of thing. Handwritten letters, what a treasure.
It's a lost art, and we actually have some letters and different artifacts from our volunteers of the museum as well. They've brought in of their parents or their time of service, so you can actually see some real letters up close as well. And we do have some booklets, too, that were travel logs for soldiers as they were on their journeys. So.
I found a collection of my mother's letters that she had saved over the years.
And
what struck me was the penmanship.
Yes.
A lost art.
I keep all of my birthday cards from my grandparents, because my grandmas have such intricate handwriting,
right,
and I want to treasure that forever. It's,
right,
it's different than an email, for sure.
Plus, I print. I don't, I don't write cursive.
Only for a signature.
I know how, but yeah, I can read it. But okay, so we're talking about a members-only reception on Friday at 6. The grand opening for this exhibit is 11 on Saturday. What can people expect at the door as far as costs go?
Yeah, so when you get to the door, we'll have our greeters there, and everything currently with the museum is by donation only. We wanted to open it up to low-income families in different areas of town that maybe weren't weren't able to afford that $750 originally.
Right.
So we're going to keep that amount. So it is by donation, and then once you come in, we'll guide you through it. The rest of the exhibits are open as well, so you can come check it out. But I would come at 1:30. That's the special ceremony.
Oh, I see. Yes. Right. By the Marine Corps League Detachment.
Open. Yeah, and because of the different levels, I think this is very friendly to all ages, especially students, young learners. They'll be able to still absorb the emotion that an adult would as well.
And the proceeds all go to the museum, which is a 501c3.
Yes, we are. We are fully nonprofit. We are part of the Lake Havasu City Historical Society, and so all funds go directly into that, and they help fund current exhibits, upcoming exhibits. We're doing some restorations, including Site 6, which will be
featured. I was just going to get to that.
Yes.
Nice.
We're looking to redo that this year, hoping to launch 2023, and that's with Anderson Auto Group. And so these funds will go into that, and especially our education programs as well, which we had a very successful year with. So we want to continue to expand that and move forward to service our community better.
So you got so much going on down there at the museum, which is still in the same place, right there off of Highway 95.
320 London Bridge Road.
London Bridge Shopping Center?
Yep, next to the Chamber of Commerce,
London Bridge
Plaza. But I always say, look for the Habit Burger and turn there.
But as far as paid staff, very minimal. But you're always looking for volunteers.
Absolutely. If anybody is interested in volunteering, we are always looking. We have collections. You'll be working with artifacts, docenting, tour guides. We also have the Lake Havasu Gem and Mineral Society, and they're always looking for volunteers. Havasu Rocks. So if you're interested, go ahead and shoot me an email, info@havasumuseum.com. I would love to have you and see what interests and talents you have, and we can collaborate on something really awesome.
Wow. There's just so much that we could get into, but I got to get Jess in here.
Well, you tell him I said hi, and thank you, everybody. You can find information like Havasu Museum of History, Facebook, Instagram, and havasumuseum.com.
Great. And speaking of Havasu Rocks, you rock for requesting Fleetwood Mac.
It's a favorite. I saw them in 2017.
Right.
I'll never forget it.
Right. I love this one where Lindsey Buckingham's on lead. So.
Oh, he's amazing.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm told Jess is here.
All right.
So we'll be back with more. I've got a surprise for Jess when it comes to his fighting bison.
Oh, well, I want to see it.
All right.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We'll be right back. Bison carry the fight. I even know how to say it now.
Love it.
Bison.
Bison, yeah.
And I was thinking about you Saturday as I was listening to the game on KNTR Sports. We actually carried that
game.
That's
awesome.
I don't know if you knew that or not, but the North Dakota State Bison, or Bison, for those who don't know, won the FCS D2 National Championship on Saturday.
Yeah, they beat Montana State.
They beat Montana State. Yeah, they beat them badly. 28-0 at halftime, I think. But what really struck me, Jess, not only you being an alum, they've won 9 of the last 11.
9 of the last 11 national champions, the championships.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a proud, very proud organization, we see about 3 or 4 that enter into the NFL draft every year.
Including Oregon, San Francisco's quarterback, right?
Trey Lance went number 2 overall. Yeah. Carson Wentz went number 2 overall a couple years ago. And, yeah, there's a lot of good players out there.
Kelly's getting an education over here. Kelly Williams, city clerk in the house. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And, by the way, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise. The Lewis team, Coldwell Banker with team leader Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, the Better Business Bureau, and Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants with over 35 years in the Laughlin community. Located in the Laughlin Town Center, visit their website at LaughlinNevada.net. Always great to have you in the studio, by the way.
It's good to hear, be here, Paul. Yeah, fantastic.
I think we missed you. Did we have you in last month?
Yeah, I was, my days merge.
I think mine too.
Yeah.
That's
like
a good way to
a lot of people.
It.
But yeah, I think I was here last month, but I don't recall who the guest was.
So a week from today.
Yeah.
And I just got a confirmation on my personal cell.
Okay.
It's Carrie Lake.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. She's like, Paul, it's Carrie Lake. And
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm thinking, how'd you get my number?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a week from today. We'll have Carrie Lake, on the phone, yeah, she'll be, we'll interview her on the phone. She
won't
fantastic. Be in the studio,
yeah.
But yeah, she thought it was today.
Okay.
And it struck me as funny because media people, you know, might not make the best for booking their own media.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yeah. So, I'm sure she's got a lot going on.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you brought Kelly in.
Yeah, I brought Kelly Williams is joining me today, and Kelly is the city clerk, one of the unsung heroes at the city that does a lot of great things behind the scenes for the betterment of our community.
That would assume that you have heroes at the city, though.
We do have a lot of heroes at the city.
Kelly, candidate packets just went out, didn't they?
They
for
did.
City council.
Yes, they opened up on January 3rd for city council for 1 seat for mayor and 3 seats for city council member.
Right. The mayor is up for re-election.
Yes.
Okay. And no, I'm not running. We'll just put that to bed right now. So what do candidates have to, how do you qualify to be a candidate with signatures and that sort of thing? But what do they need to know when they pick up their packet?
So anyone interested in coming and picking up a candidate packet can do that in the clerk's office. We'll go over all of the required forms and information related to running for office for city council member or mayor. Mm-hmm. Candidates do have to be qualified and meet certain qualifications, be at least 18 years of age at the time of filing their nomination papers, be a qualified elector of Lake Havasu City at the time of filing their nomination papers as well, and have resided within the Lake Havasu City limits within 1 year of the election date.
Okay. Are they coming in fast and furious?
So far we've had 9 come in
9?
And pull a packet. Yes.
9 people already. Any incumbents?
Yes, we have.
Okay. So you've had incumbents and those people looking for higher office
mm-hmm.
within the city. But there's another way people can serve the city without having to run for office. There's the boards and commissions, aren't there?
There is. We do have boards, committees, and commissions where vacancies do open up throughout the year, and term limits do come into play where seats are open. So anyone interested, if they're not interested in running for council, but they are interested in running on a board or applying for a board, committee, or commission, can do that by applying in the city clerk's office. There is information on our city's website, and packets are available in the city clerk's office as well.
Okay. You have a council meeting tonight.
Yeah, we do have a council meeting tonight at 6 p.m. As always, inviting the public to come out and see what the council and the city team is up to. A few items on the agenda, but it's in comparison to most, it's a little bit of a light meeting tonight.
It's pretty light.
Yeah. We'll make up for it at the next meeting.
I noticed, though, that there are a lot of planning and zoning meetings lately where planning and zoning is having a big impact on what's happening in the city. How sure. much weight does the P&Z carry with council members? A decision.
Quite a bit. Ms. Williams just talked about the boards and commissions that we have. One of the recommending bodies is the Planning and Zoning Commission. So with the different zoning requests that might be coming through, they'll take action, they'll vote on that, and then that is a recommendation that goes forward to council. Council takes that recommendation very, very seriously, and probably historically, 9 times out of 10, we'll follow that recommendation, and more so as much as the recommendation, there's a process in place, right? So the applicants get in front of the P&Z and they make the presentation. There might be some questions and some input from the public, some questions and input that comes from the Planning and Zoning Commission as well. And so all those conversations all get wrapped up into a bow, and the council is able to utilize that information to make the best possible decision. So it's an important process. And certainly we're very thankful for all the volunteers that sit on that on the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Right. There's an agenda item here in the public hearing section. You don't usually see the city clerk in the public hearings, but there's an item to amend Lake Havasu City Code, Chapter 2.04, City Administration and Council Requests, and Public Requests. What's that all about?
Do you want to take that one?
Go ahead. You can start. I think, well, maybe I'll start.
Kind of a preview of the council meeting tonight.
Yeah, it's a bit of a preview. In essence, what we're doing, what council is doing tonight is setting forth the guidelines and the rules on how items are placed on the agenda outside of kind of the normal routine of the direction that staff has to place items on the agenda. So if a member of the council wants to place an item on the agenda, or a member of the public wants to place an item on the agenda, what is that process? And so that we'll be discussing that tonight and establishing those rules so that everybody understands how that takes place.
Interesting. So he explained it just the way you would?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is just an introduction with the follow. They will come to council at a later date for adoption.
Okay, makes sense. All right, I'm going to go old school here and go with one of your favorites.
Perfect.
So What You Want.
There you go, I like that. Yeah, that's a good theme for today.
Does Kelly know you're a Beastie Boys fan?
I had to give her a heads up, yeah.
You just found out before the show?
Yes.
Nice. Awesome. All right, we're with City Manager Jessica Knudsen and City Clerk Kelly Williams of Lake Havasu City. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue in a moment. We still have those Havasu Regional Orchestra tickets. The show's called We're Back with a Bit More, and that is this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center at Lake Havasu High School. $10 tickets. You can have up to four of them if you give me a call, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Stay with us on Speak Out. That's what they're playing right now at the post-game party at the big parade in, is it Bismarck? Is that where they're from?
Actually, they're from Fargo.
Yep. Fargo, right.
Yeah, they're playing
at
the Fargo Dome. Yeah.
I did hear that during the game that they're from Fargo, North Dakota. And Moorhead is right across the river.
Yeah.
The Red River, right?
Red River, and then Fargo, North Dakota, and then Moorhead, Minnesota, right on the border of the Red River, yeah.
I've actually been there.
Okay. Yeah.
When I was in college.
Hopefully it wasn't in the winter, eh?
No, it was in the summer, eh?
Some of the temperatures, how thankful are we to live in Havasu with the weather? Looking at some of the temperatures back in my home state, back in North Dakota, 20 below actual temperature with like 30 mile per hour winds and feels like 50, 60, 70 below zero.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
You got your sleeves rolled up today.
I do, yeah, and I wore a jacket, yeah.
Is it really January?
Yeah, no, exactly.
There you go. Yeah. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, the company now known as GDK LLC, same Mike Bonney, but a new name, GDK LLC, as Mike would say. SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, and by Thane O'Brien was spot on. Now the preferred technology partner at the Arizona Restaurant Association. Call Thane at 928-706-2784 or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. We got to mention that Lake Havasu City app. Have you checked it out yet?
It is. They're doing some really good things.
Man, yeah. Easy to find, too, when you use the search.
Yeah.
There's that big orange and blue logo that Alyssa created.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you can find our Speak Out shows on there as well, dating back a couple of months.
Perfect.
So hosted by SoundCloud. Pretty cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting all high tech in here, right?
You got apps, yeah.
We got apps. That's right. All right. So I want to talk to Kelly. Kelly Williams is here as well as city clerk along with Jess Knudsen, city manager, about what your public records requests. What Jess was saying during the break that you have a number of those to deal with. I didn't realize that went through the city clerk's office. What does that entail?
Yeah, so anyone looking to receive public records goes through the records request process. They submit a form to the city clerk's office, and that form is processed, sent to the various departments that have those records to produce records to the public that are looking for anything from, copies of reports or just really anything that is held by the city as far as a record can be requested through the public request for a public records process.
Do you collaborate with other clerks around the county or even around the state?
Through the state, yes. Through the Arizona Municipal Clerks Association, that association is formed to promote the clerk profession, offer training, opportunities for support, and able to contact one another to look for assistance or just things that they do that can help in our clerk's office as well.
Wow, I was thinking a player to be named later, right, Jess?
There's a sports theme today, which is fun.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right, we have a number of things to talk about with you as well, Jess. Mm-hmm. Especially everybody I run into now is asking me, I wonder why, about ALO communication.
Sure, yeah.
Is there an update?
They're advancing the ball. So the same conversations we had before, they're implementing that plan. And I think certainly as you drive through the community, you're seeing more and more of those the trucks with the LO logo on the side. I think we've talked in the past about how they acquired some retail space off of McCulloch in the downtown area. They've also identified some space on the north side of town for yard space and for the trucks and for their equipment. And they're ready to roll out and start start building their system. They're also been in the communities and looking at the different infrastructure that's out there. So it's all kind of pre-planning stages right now to flip that switch and start digging and hanging wires throughout the community.
It's a fascinating technology. Mm-hmm. I was on the ALO website, and then now I'm getting email updates from ALO.
Okay.
And they talk about their cable that they can't run their signal through traditional RG6, coax.
Yes.
Because their cable, the core is made of glass.
Mm-hmm.
Because their signal travels at the speed of light.
Yeah.
It's actually light for their, it's an amazing technology.
It really, really is. To have that fiber optic option in Havasu will be, something for that our residents can choose, right? What provider they want to go with. And I think that's been the city's stance from day one is, whoever provides the best service, our residents will make that determination. But we're happy to have a competitor come in and kind of maybe disrupt the status quo a little bit.
So as far as the city goes, is that something that needs a franchise agreement, or does anything like that cover that type of vendor or that type of business?
It's one of the things that goes through the clerk's office.
Oh, really?
You want to talk about that a little bit and what we did with ALO?
Yeah, so they do submit a uniform license agreement and have a form that is submitted for that type of use with the city. And so that process is something that they've applied for, and I believe at this point that they're in the process of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Is that something that Suddenlink or one of the other providers, like a Wirefree, or them, would they have to submit the same process then?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was based on the cable licensing, right? So that's what it's all about. So for those that provide that service for cable. TV is the process that Mr. Williams is describing. So whether it's Suddenlink, yes. Although the state statute changed 6-7 years ago, which is kind of throwing out a number somewhere in that time frame, where cities used to be able to negotiate a franchise agreement with cable providers,
right.
And then the law, the state law changed, and now it's really just a uniform process. It went from a negotiation with each individual city that would put together a plan on how those services are provided within the community, how the infrastructure is used in the city's right of way, and how that construction can take place within the old franchise agreement that the city in Havasu negotiated. Had a call center that had to be in Havasu, and we had a lot more control on it. Now the process is literally filling out a form and filling in the blanks and submitting it, and then it's approved at the staff level. I mean, it's there's nothing to negotiate based on the guidance from state statutes and state law that was changed a couple years back.
There are a couple other things that are really impressive about ALLO. It's the
yeah.
the unique connection really struck me, because you're not sharing a connection like you would a DSL
yeah.
or any other type of internet connection. It's a unique connection directly to your home or your condo, apartment, that sort of. But the other thing, I don't know if you've checked out the website, is their rate structure.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, for the price that I pay for a cell phone bill,
yeah.
I would get the same rate pretty much for internet.
Yeah.
And it's 500 up and down.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It is. I mean, to get those types of speeds right now, it would be a challenge. Now, and with we talk about Suddenlink in particular.
That's minimum.
Yeah, that's minimum, right? And they're talking about, in some cases, yeah, you can exceed that based on the package that you have.
Right. Gig is the normal.
Gig is
a gig yeah. up and a gig down.
Yeah.
That's got to be
yeah.
for a multimedia file just like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then you alluded to it, too, as, in terms of that you're not relying on shared infrastructure, right?
Right.
So sometimes with if you're a Suddenlink customer like I am, you will see a change maybe in your speeds during certain portions of the day.
Because of the nodes, right?
Because of the community nodes that are out there in that infrastructure. So maybe at 5 or 6 o'clock at night when everybody gets home off of work and wants to jump in, you know, get
sure.
the Netflix going or you know, start utilizing that internet, that can bog down the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so this this infrastructure and this technology is much, much different. And that's not a thing in terms of usage. So the infrastructure goes right back to their hub within the community, and it's not impacted that way.
So I wanted to switch topics to legislative priorities.
Sure.
There's an article in the paper. I know I had some of this on my news as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor Sheehy was talking about not so much workforce housing, but the short-term rental market.
Right.
And there's some things in the works now, hopefully, with State Representative Biasucci. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, certainly. You know, the legislative session opened this week. So
yesterday.
Just yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've been having some conversations with Representative Biasucci as well as Senator Borelli. And they both identify the need for some changes that need to take place at the state level to provide cities with some tools on how to address some of the issues that pop up with short-term rentals. Part of our conversations are that that one of the talking points that is so true that's been resonating amongst the staff and other communications that I'm having and my team's having with other cities across the state is it's 1% of the short-term rentals are causing 99% of the problems. It's these party homes that are out there that are causing a disruption in our neighborhood. And right now, the cities don't have any tools on how to address that. The state statute literally reads right now that cities and towns may not regulate short-term rentals, with a few small exceptions that are out there. So we don't have the tools to address these things. Yes, the police can show up and cite for a noise violation for the people that are renting the short-term rental. But for those that are advertising these short-term rentals as a party destination, inviting people to show up and make noise and disrupt the neighborhoods, we don't have any recourse or very, very small amount of tools to address those that are portraying their short-term rentals in that way. So what we've been working with Representative Biasucci, Senator Borelli, and what we're trying to do is just a few things this year. We understand that Governor Ducey would veto a bill that would provide an extensive a significant change and provide a significant impact. He's talked about in the past how he's a supporter of the shared economy, and he likes the concept of short-term rentals. He's not willing to sign a bill that would bring some of those responsibilities back to cities and towns. But maybe next year with a new governor in office, we're gonna try to do something a little bit much more substantial. You talked about
that's interesting. How do you solve this problem without letting the cities and towns control the problem?
Yes, we're all different. Look at it as a city issue. It's not a state issue. Bisbee and Havasu and Scottsdale and Flagstaff,
Sedona,
yeah. We're all different, and allow us to make these decisions at a local level. So we know how to handle these things. Havasu's been looking at short-term rentals probably longer than any other city in the state and most in the country. We know how to handle these things, but provide us with the tools and the resources to do that. With the assistance from Representative Biasucci and Senator Borelli, this year we're asking for a little bit of relief. Some of that is just notifications, right? So we want to put the contact information, 24-hour contact information, of the short-term rental into the hands of the neighbors. So does that mean? Like maybe an 8.5 by 11 display that's right by the door, by the doorbell. As a neighbor, you can go up there and take a picture of that or have that handy. Also require the owner to provide notification for that 24-hour contact to everybody within 300 feet. We need to get the owner or the property manager's contact information, the name of everybody in the neighborhood. If an issue comes up, they're all calling the owner, and at that point, that's the impact, right? As PD, as the city, we can't do what a hotel can do. If you're making a disruption in a hotel they're going to show up and they're going to kick you out, well, that's the same type of situation that we're trying to get out there with some of this language. And lastly, because it's very simple, we're asking for that language, and then the only other language in that same bill will be some type of like either a business license or a permit process. So just meet some regular standards like every other business in Havasu can meet, and then we can collect some information and maybe some recourse for those 1% of those short-term rentals that are causing all the problems.
But noise and disruptions and parking problems in neighborhoods, sure. That sort of thing, those aren't the only problems that short-term rentals create. They're creating a workforce housing problem also. How does the city address that?
Well, we ask the state to help, because the state is telling us that we can't address that.
The state's saying you cannot?
Cannot. We can't regulate short-term rentals to any degree whatsoever. We can't treat them like a business. We can't tell them that they have to abide by certain measures or a permitting process. They're businesses, and they're in our neighborhoods, and they're paying, you know, they're not abiding by the same level of regulation that's out there.
It just doesn't seem fair, because Joe, taxpayer, Havasu citizen that follows all the rules, he has to follow those same rules, but the short-term rental owner does not?
Not from a commercial standpoint. And mainly pause and say that there's a lot of really good short-term rental owners that are out there that are responsible, that are accountable, that care about what they're doing in that short-term rental, how that impacts the neighborhood. So we're not talking about those people specifically. We have some that take the time to hire some of the local realtor or property managers within the community that manage these properties. Some are showing up at the time when the customer comes and checks in and those types of things.
Sure.
And there's rules that are posted. Those people are responsible, and those aren't the ones that we're really trying to get at. Right now, we don't have the ability to get at the problem childs, if you will, that are advertised in that way. But if you open up a hotel or even a business, there's going to be health inspections from the county. There's going to be a need for sprinklers. There's going to be a need for maybe a commercial property tax rather than a residential property tax. If you have a pool in the backyard, there's an inspection that's going to be needed. All of those things I described aren't required if you operate a short-term rental. Those are the big things. Those are next year, and as we're trying to take a more of a look. Right now, we want to have the information in the hands of the neighborhood.
All right. Mm-hmm. You want to take a phone call?
Sure.
Let's do it. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, I have a question about the short-term rentals. How come we spend 90% of our effort trying to change the rules and get regulations in there on 1% of the problem?
because we don't have the city doesn't have any recourse. There's nothing that we can do other than show up and provide a citation for noise or otherwise to the tenant or the people that are renting the space. We can't hold
so
right now the owner accountable.
If you had a homeowner that likes to party and makes a lot of noise,
yeah,
what recourse does the neighbor have? The same, call the police and you tell them to be quiet.
Yeah, but in this instance, it's a great comparison. In this instance, it's a new homeowner every weekend. Because the people that are in there making the noise, you're not going to get a first or a second warning over the course of time because it's somebody new is renting it the following weekend, and then the following weekend, and so forth.
So the homeowner doesn't get the citation, the occupant does?
Right. Yeah. So if it's a resident or somebody that's next door that continuously breaks the law or violates the noise ordinance or provides that disturbance, there's consequences over the course of time, right? And so forth. But
isn't the property owner ultimately responsible?
You would add that.
In the law?
I'd love that.
You would think.
I would love that to happen.
Yeah.
Right now, there's only a few things that are available for cities based on the statutes and the legislation that was passed a couple of years ago that took away all of that from it. When that they changed the law, they're selling the fact that the industry was selling the fact that it's grandma selling renting out her back bedroom or a casita. But we're talking about in some cases people that are excessive in terms of noise, and so we're just trying to get ahead of that. It literally says that the state law says cities and towns cannot regulate short-term rentals.
And owners that have numerous properties as well, especially condos.
And there's a couple years ago, there was some relief and some legislation that was passed and talked about, like, the three violations by the owner over 12 months could ramp up in terms of fines and so forth. But the way the language was there, that it had to be three adjudicated violations, which means it's got to go through a court process. The owners are living don't live in Havasu and they don't live in Arizona. They live in other states or other countries.
If they have to go to court, they have to go to court.
But you also
they lose
that 100%. But you also have to serve them properly. If you get a citation in the mail, that isn't you weren't served. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and so there's issues because we're not talking about Havasu residents that are the owners. It's there's some nuance.
Just a lot of regulations scares me.
No, and what we're talking about is just put something in place that's respectful for the neighborhood, and that's really all we're trying to get at, and that's what we're trying to accomplish first and foremost. So we're not trying
and
to
I'm
ask
all
for
that too because I have nice quiet neighbors and I like it that way.
Right. Yeah, we all do, right?
All right.
Yeah,
caller, we're running up against the clock here, so
thanks
great
for
question.
All right,
yeah.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Great questions.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very educated audience.
We do.
You have to admit.
Yeah.
All right. Jess, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you too, City Manager Jess Knudsen and his North Dakota State University. Do we call him the Fighting Bison?
No, that's the school up north. We don't want to do that. It's just the Bison. Yeah.
We just call them the Bison and their dynasty.
There you go.
Right?
9/11 championships.
Kelly Williams, thanks for coming in again.
Yes, thank you so much.
We appreciate it. I'm going to go out with some Johnny Cash.
Nice.
Because you're a big Cash fan.
I am.
All right. And we'll be back with more on Speak Out in a moment with a final segment. I'm Paul LaVoy. Stay with us.
When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, a jumpy rhythm makes you feel so fine. It'll shake all your trouble from your worried mind. Get a rhythm.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I'll let it love all I thought it was fine. You came along.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. And one of our sponsors, Mojave Mortgage, they have a racing team. And they're going to be donating all race winnings for the rest of the Havasu 95 Speedway season to the Fraternal Order of Police Canine Program. Mojave Mortgage will be matching whatever money is won by their race team. And the CEO and driver of the number 33 car in the street stock class, Chad Hansen, I guess he contacted Captain Douglas Whitaker at the Lake Havasu City Police Department, and the donation has all been arranged. So, in other words, if Hanson's team brings in $1,000 in winnings, Mojave Mortgage is going to match that. So what a win-win for the canine program here in Lake Havasu City. All right, next up on Speak Out 2.0, Colleen Haynes, the PIO for the City of Kingman, will be on the show. That's after news and a short break. I'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City.
Feels good. Holy baby.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.